The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Higher, baby, you're in the right place. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray, Aviana Barrientos, and Dewan Bennett. I like that you did that with me.
I was going to say, did you hear his higher baby?
Yeah.
I love it.
Do it again. You know, do it again.
Higher baby.
You did it great. No, it actually, it's so funny. Like, that's synergy, right?
Yes.
And the connection, it just felt so good for you to do that with me. I always feel kind of awkward when I open the show and go, higher baby. Like, people go, oh, who does she think she is?
No, see, I love it.
But I do want to go higher, baby.
I think we all want to go higher. I love when you do it. It's like, okay, well, we about to step
Let's
it up
go.
To our best performance. Let's go higher.
Yeah. And it's crazy, you know, I have craziness sometimes before the show, sometimes after the show. But when I am in this space, it just feels good. It feels good to connect with people and talk. And who would have ever thought that little me, would end up, talking on talk radio? I still pinch myself sometimes and say, how did I find the courage to do this?
See, I tell you all the time that for you, it's like, it seems like this is just a normal walk at the park. You know, you're so seamless with kind of delivering a message and being able to talk, and it's just natural to you. Now, you talk about the chaos before and after. I have the chaos during the show, I have it during the show.
Well, I have anxiety during the show a lot of times, and people don't know behind the scenes, which is one of the reasons we might start even putting it out on video, even though I'm not crazy about that.
Okay.
But, you know, you don't get to see a lot of the things that, I mean, I remember one time we were ready to go live. I won't say who was in studio. It was early on. I was only on the air maybe 2 years.
Okay.
And these were the 5 a.m. days?
I think,
wow,
no, this is when I was on at 10 a.m.
Okay.
This was the early days. And one of my guests was getting ready to go. There was two doctors in the room and a patient. And this patient was on this new therapy. And we were going to talk about how well he was doing. And right as we went live, he collapsed on the floor.
Oh my gosh.
And I thought I was going to die.
You were going to collapse with him.
You're going to be right there next to him.
I don't even remember. I'm sure it's in the archives somewhere. I've got all the tapes, you know, on hard drives. But I'm telling you, it was the scariest day of my life. I don't even know how I got through it. I was so, my mind was so ruined after that point.
Now, is he okay?
He did do okay, and he sprung back to life.
Okay.
Did he jump on the air?
But
do you
here's
remember?
The thing. So we went live, and the two doctors jumped off the mics to go help him. Mm-hmm. And I was so green then. I was like,
So here I am.
And, and I had introduced the doctor. I introduced everybody, mm-hmm. and then he collapsed, and I don't even, it was like a nightmare.
Everybody's looking around for an adrenaline shot, like who has one?
Yeah. And so, you know, sometimes, you know, when you get nervous, you're listening to a response to a question you've asked, and sometimes something will throw you sideways, and you're not ready for the next question, and just, I don't know. It's fun, though. It's a challenge every single day.
But the reality is, how do you build resiliency without overcoming some adversity, right? So I think sometimes when I'm on the show with you and I witness you just be able to overcome things on the fly, it's
you've kind of seen it behind the scenes.
That's
yeah.
because, I mean, things have happened and it prepared you that, hey, things are going to happen, so I know I have to know how to go. Where something like that happens to me when I'm on the air with you, I may pass out.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, a lot of the other longtime talents here at iHeartMedia have told me you just got to have a short memory in radio. You got to clear the mechanism and let it go. But I'm such a perfectionist that sometimes I make myself crazy, like monkey mind, like need some GABA to calm me down, you know. But, you know, it's so funny, too, because, you know, you read that, you know, you are what you think. You really are.
Yes.
And we've got a fantastic show coming up today. We're going to be talking about power and control in relationships. And it's kind of funny. So I got a call on my way shortly after I left the house this morning from a dear old friend who is going through a brutal time in her relationship. They've been together about 20 years, and it's all about power and control. And she has completely lost herself. And anyway, I was thinking, oh my gosh, this is exactly what we're talking about on the show today, how couples or people in general, doesn't have to just be a couple, mm-hmm. people struggle in relationships for power and control.
Yes, they do. And I think it a lot of times that's where you definitely see it is when we're in some type of relationship. It's not always about a romantic relationship. It can be a business relationship. It can be family members. It can be parent to child. But you do mm-hmm. see this need to be able to have a sense of power that we all kind of strive for in different ways, in various ways.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, well, that, you know, when you're talking about domestic violence, that's what it's about. It's about power and control.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, we've got Dr. Deborah Green on the show today as well.
Right.
And we're going to be talking about how's your energy hygiene, an article from The Intelligent Optimist about your energy.
And I love this topic.
I do, too. I do, too. And it's going to be very interesting. A good show. You know, before we get going, got a couple minutes here. I want to bring something up. And I want to talk with you because you're a shrink about this. So it was an article that Aviana actually pulled. A Pennsylvania school district turns down local businessmen's offer to pay off student lunch debts. It says that Pennsylvania school district that recently came under fire after threatening parents that their kids could be recommended to be put in foster care if they didn't pay off their school lunch debts has turned down an offer from a local businessman to clear all debts, the Philadelphia Inquirer reports. It says, according to the local paper, the Wyoming Valley West School Board rejected an offer from Todd Carmichael, who is a CEO of La Columbia Coffee Roasters, headquartered in Philadelphia, to pay off $22,000 worth of debt for local students. In an op-ed, Carmichael wrote that it was published in the Wilkes-Barre Citizen's Voice on Tuesday, and the businessman said that he had worked with his team to reach out to the school district to let them know that we're eager to donate the full amount of outstanding reported as $22,467. But, you know, it's so crazy that they would turn it down. And Avi, you know, Duan, what are your thoughts on this?
I don't know. I think it's another example of society's need to want to criminalize poverty.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost
sense
of that, hey, if you don't have these things, if you can't take care of your children, although there are programs out there that allow for these funds or these grants to be had, we don't want it from them. We want it from you. We want you to be accountable.
Well, it's shame. It's terrible. And they're hurting the children more. And I have to tell you, I'm going to be very transparent here. I grew up in a big Italian-Irish family. Anybody that listens to the show knows that about me. Mm-hmm. But my father, when 7-Eleven put him out of business, my parents were broke. Luckily, my mother was well-educated as a registered nurse, and she was able to pay the bills. But I got free lunches, okay?
I grew up on free and reduced lunch as well.
I got free lunches from the Catholic Church, and even my tuition in those final years in high school was paid for because my mother was so active in the community, number one, and did a lot of volunteer work with the Catholic Church and Catholic Charities. And I have to tell you, when I used to go to get my lunch, I can remember being so humiliated and embarrassed because I had a special token. You know, mm-hmm. I didn't have the token that everybody else had. And it's damaging to a child's self-esteem and their confidence. And I'm speaking 100% honestly to you that it's a very damaging thing to do to a child, to shame them because their parents live in poverty.
And now they're scared that they might potentially be put into the foster system.
Yeah. Yes. Threatening them with that? Like, that's going to make it any better for these families and children, as you said, that are being criminalized for living in, for being impoverished?
I think that goes back into the topic for later on, power and control, right? I mean, you have a situation where somebody is willing to clear the debt that these parents have to make sure that these kids continue to eat their lunches. And for whatever reason, I mean, I haven't read the article, but for whatever reason, the school district decides that that's not good enough.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to threaten to put your kids in foster care, which is even more traumatic for a child than even having to have a different separate lunch because it's free and reduced. Now we're going to expose them to more trauma because, you know what? We really care about these kids.
Right.
We really care about them. And I just don't get it. And I don't understand sometimes the things that we're willing to do to punish parents for not having the same advantages that we may have.
Right. But I'm so glad we talked about it. I do, because I think there's a lot of people out there that can relate. And I have to say, you know, I'm not a huge proponent of welfare as a whole, because mm-hmm. I think it's more important to teach you know, people how to feed themselves, because that's what gives them the ultimate control and power to succeed in life, to take control of their own life. And I do believe in helping people, of course, but it should be short term, you know, and it'll give them a system or something, something to help them get out of the hole.
And I think that is true. I grew up with welfare, you know, and I was fortunate to watch my mom go from a situation to where we used to have government cheese and free reduced lunches to about time we were in middle school. My mom was a nurse and we had a house and, you know, my mom was able to buy the things that we needed and we wasn't struggling anymore. Mm-hmm. But I think that resiliency that I watched in my mom gave me an idea of how the system should work. Yep. It should be a temporary thing. But I think, unfortunately, in certain situations, people live in environments where there's no work opportunities available.
And that's unfortunate. And a lot of people can, you know, you can financially fall apart. I know people that have had millions and millions of dollars and died broke.
Yes.
You know, my own family. Okay, you talk about the government cheese. I can remember my dad bringing home the government cheese because he had a tenant, because my father also owned like 11 houses. They were rental properties. And we had to keep selling them to pay for my brother's psychiatric expenses because you can't have any kind of, you know, any kind of wealth whatsoever, or what's the word I'm looking for? I can't think of it, because what we're talking about is triggering a lot of emotion in me right now. But so I used to go with my dad to collect the rent. Mm-hmm. And there was this one woman who was on welfare and she couldn't pay the rent. And so she paid it with cheese. And I remember my dad bringing home a big loaf of the government cheese. And I have to tell you, it was pretty good. That was back, like,
I used to like it. Especially for grilled cheese sandwiches. I mean, it seemed to be the best.
Oh, yeah. It was the orange cheese, right? Yes, in the big block?
The big block,
like
yes.
a 5-pound block, yes. something like that. But yeah, we used to make grilled cheese with that. And anyway, I could go on and on. A lot of good memories, though. A lot of character building, you know.
She paid in cheese. I love that.
But see, that's one of the points. I mean, it's all about how you look at it. I think some people look at their experiences with poverty or growing up in environments deprived as a horrible thing. But I think it's perspective.
A good thing.
Because for me, I appreciated it. I really appreciated watching my mom while I was in school, sitting at the table studying for her exam so she can get her nursing certificate. Like, that sense of resiliency and being able to overcome, and now looking at her and where she is now, that makes me proud.
I love it.
It's a sense of pushing. It pushes you to move forward.
So good to have you in studio. Always love having DeJuan Bennett in studio. He's going to be talking about power and control a little bit later on in the broadcast. And we've got Dr. Deborah Green. She's a PhD coming up. We're going to be talking about how's your energy hygiene, an article from the Intelligent Optimist. So stay tuned, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Did you know a mother rat will dip her paws into cool water and gently smooth the fur around her infants' faces? The babies put their arms around their mother's neck and pay attention while being bathed. Rats and mice fall in love, risk their lives to save their kids, and giggle when tickled. Evan Walker writes of a mouse who died of shock in a trap. His life was a life fully as real to him as ours is to us. This creature, for all the irritation it may have brought as it scampered through closed closets or up some crevice in a wall, was as precious as you or I. He was not a machine that breaks and fails. He felt. His was consciousness, full and real and fragile and precious. This is Ingrid Newkirk with Peter, reminding us that it's easy to be kind, perhaps by not using glue traps.
We're going to let this song roll for another minute or two. Maybe not a minute or two, but a couple of seconds. I heard this song on the way in today, and I was like, oh, my gosh, I love this song. I hadn't heard it in so long. And do you know this song?
I don't, but the voice sounds like that guy who sings The Air of Night. I can feel it calling in the air of night. Sounds like that guy.
This is Mr. Mister.
Oh, Mr. Mister.
Sure. Carrie.
The wind blows hard.
It's a really cool song. We have to break into. We'll let it break into the, and then we'll go to to Dr. Green here in just a second.
So this is not Jodeci or Boys to Men, I take it.
I just think Freudian slip, medicine, music. Music is medicine. Yeah, this is a old famous kind of just a song. And Diamond had never heard it either. So, there you go. Did you recognize it now?
I've heard this.
You haven't?
No.
Aviana, you're so young. Oh, my goodness.
I've heard this song for sure. Yeah.
All right, everyone. Welcome back to One Life Radio. I hope you enjoyed that. You know, I think I secretly always wanted to be a DJ. You know, like a real DJ.
You can still do it.
I'm not dead yet.
And remember, we talked about how well of a dancer you are.
Well, yeah, thank you very much. But it's so great to have everyone in studio today. Dewan Bennett is a licensed professional counselor. And, of course, Aviana and Diamond. And I have a very special guest on the line, Dr. Deborah Green. She is a PhD and earned her PhD from Ohio State University and has been an innovator in energy medicine and mind-body integration for over 25 years. She is an author, speaker, and practitioner of various healing arts who combines the best of ancient wisdom with modern science in her writings, presentations, private practice, and online courses. She empowers others with research-based approaches aimed at developing our inner resources for life transformation and self-actualization. I love everything that she does. I really do. Welcome to One Life Radio, Dr. Green.
Thank you so much.
Well,
wonderful to be here.
I love it. And your website is yourenergymatters.com. That's www.yourenergymatters.com. Okay, today we're talking about how's your energy hygiene, an article from the Intelligent Optimist. So you work in the field of energy medicine, and for many people, those energies are invisible and so subtle. So how do we even know that those energies exist?
Well, that's a really good question, and I'm happy to say that at this point there are literally hundreds of research studies verifying the existence and power of these energies. If you search online under the term biofield, human biofield, you will find a lot of the research that's been done in recent times. And aside from you know, the scientific research legitimizing these amazing energies that we all have, if we have time, I would love to facilitate a little exercise that could help us actually experience the power of our own energy. Can we do that?
Absolutely. I love this. I love doing stuff like this. Yeah, sounds like a lot of fun.
So, in order to participate in this little exercise/experiment, I need you to have both of your hands free. So
okay.
In other words, if you're driving in the car,
okay.
Pull over.
Okay, and hold on, because I'm going to turn the lights down. Hold on.
she's
actually,
dimming the lights.
Don't turn them down too far, because you do need to be able to see at the beginning here.
Oh, we're getting
perfect.
The mood ready.
There we go.
Yes,
got some
the
nice.
Mood, the mood. So when you have both of your hands free in front of you,
mm-hmm.
Place them palms up side by side, so that you're looking at the palm of your hands, the inside palm, and I want you to put your hands side by side and look at the base of your palm, and you'll see that there are some lines, some creases there at the base of your palm.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to line up those creases, because we're using them as markers. So line up the creases at the base of your palm, match them up, and then fold your hands together into a prayer position. Okay, does that
mm-hmm.
make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So when you have your hands folded into prayer, just notice, look at your two hands and notice, are your palms the same size? Are your fingers the same size? Are all of your fingers the same length, your thumb? You're just making an observation right now, because this is a little experiment, so we're going to do a before and after comparison. So you're just noticing right now,
mm-hmm.
are my two hands the same size
no,
or not?
No, they're not.
Sometimes they are, sometimes they aren't. That's okay, no big deal. But just notice, okay? So then when you've made a mental note of the size of your two hands, comparing them, then you can allow one of your hands to just, you know, drop off to the side and keep one hand in front of you. Doesn't matter which hand, as long as it's yours.
Okay.
So you have your hand in front of you. And then I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to focus your whole attention on this chosen hand. And it's very important that you focus your whole attention on this hand for the duration of the exercise. With your attention focused on this hand, I want you to send your hand a clear message. And the message is that this hand has grown to be very, very big. This hand has grown to be a very large hand. Your hand has grown to be enormous. It is a huge, huge hand. So you're sending that message to your hand, talking to yourself with your self-talk. And then I want you to visualize, to picture in your mind's eye that your hand has grown very, very big. Your hand has grown so large that your fingers are extending long out into space. Your palm is thick and wide. Your hand has grown to be this enormous, gargantuan hand. So you're visualizing that, you're picturing that, you're imagining that in your mind's eye. In fact, your hand has grown to be so big that you can actually feel the weight of it. It feels so heavy. You can hardly hold your hand up because it has grown to be so enormous. So allow yourself to feel the weight of this huge hand. So I'm going to be silent for just a few moments so that you can continue to focus your whole attention on your hand, sending those messages without having to listen to me. Hold your focus. All right. Then you can open your eyes and, using those lines, those creases as markers, line your hands up, fold them together into the prayer position, and notice if anything has changed.
Okay. I'm going to give a report.
What's yes, changed? Please.
Okay, so my hands appear to be the same length. Maybe it's because I put them back together.
Did they start out the same length, or did they start out?
No, they did not start out the same length. My left hand was larger than my right hand, and now they're the same.
And which one did you focus on in the exercise?
I focused on the left one.
All right. So your left one started out longer, and now it's actually shorter, is what you're saying?
Yes.
Aha! Well, that's unusual. How did the others do? Did other people participate?
Yeah, we all did it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
okay.
Anybody else
Abby?
Have?
Mine was about the same.
Yours was about the same? And
I think mine was about the same. I think my left hand was a little slightly bigger than the right, and now they're the same.
I can tell you this, though. When you were speaking, Dr. Green, I was afraid to open my eyes because I'm so vain that I thought that my hand would be gargantuan and never go back. That's how much I believed it. And it actually felt heavy. It felt very, very heavy to me, indeed.
Yes, well, typically in this exercise, which I have facilitated hundreds of times with all kinds of audiences, there's about 85% of people who are actually able to physically grow their hand.
Really?
And typically it grows between an eighth of an inch, and I've had some people grow it as much as an inch. So it's usually eighth of an inch, quarter of an inch, sometimes mm-hmm. half an inch, even up to a full inch. And it doesn't seem to matter, like, who the group. It can be a very diverse group of people. It doesn't matter how old they are. It doesn't matter, you know, what their background is. But most people, the majority, about 85%, are able to physically grow their hand from doing the exercise.
Mm-hmm.
And it's if it didn't, you know, grow, don't worry about it. There are things that can affect it. For example, if we're a little bit distracted or thinking about something else, and you guys are on the air, and,
yeah,
you know, you have
yeah.
a lot going on.
I was going to say,
so.
Yeah, you got to cut me a little bit of slack because I was
totally.
Worried about you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not the best circumstance to be doing the exercise, but I hope that some of the listeners may have been able to do it, you know, in an environment where it's easier to hold a focus, because being able to concentrate and focus on it is super, super important. That's what can make or break it. But when we do an exercise like this, what we're doing is we're actually mobilizing our energies in order to affect an outcome.
Mm-hmm.
And it involves what I call our internal senses, and it involves our intention. And it turns out that our energies, which are our thoughts and our emotions and our sensations, all of those things are energies, because you can't see thoughts and emotions and sensations under a microscope.
Right.
But we all experience them. We know that they exist, and they're actually very, very powerful, and they have a very strong effect on our physical body. So that was the intention behind the little exercise. Thank you for being such good sport.
No, I love stuff like this.
That was so cool.
It was so cool, but I will say this, like, it cleared any kind of negative energy that I had, and we all have that throughout our day. You cleared my mind, you cleared the mechanism, and I, you know, my hands are even tingling a little bit. I feel really good. And you're going to continue on with us?
No. What we can do, using our intention and focusing and paying attention to these things, our energies respond to us, basically. And they're very, very powerful resources that we can use inside of us, and we have them at our disposal all the time.
Well, I love your voice. I love your energy. And I hope that you'll come back, because I have like 10 questions I wanted to ask you. And so you'll have to come back.
I'm happy to come back anytime.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Deborah Green. She's a PhD graduate from Ohio State University, and she is an expert in energy medicine and energy hygiene. You can find her at yourenergymatters.com. I look forward to having you back on soon.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. All right, everyone. That was super cool. I love
it.
I love the way how the segment started.
I feel good.
I feel really good.
My hand was growing.
My hands are still tingling. What a great exercise. Stay tuned, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Did you know a mother rat will dip her paws into cool water and gently smooth the fur around her infants' faces? The babies put their arms around their mother's neck and pay attention while being bathed. Rats and mice fall in love, risk their lives to save their kids, and giggle when tickled. Evan Walker writes of a mouse who died of shock in a trap. His life was a life fully as real to him as ours is to us. This creature, for all the irritation it may have brought as it scampered through closed closets or up some crevice in a wall, was as precious as you or I. He was not a machine that breaks and fails. He felt. His was consciousness, full and real and fragile and precious. This is Ingrid Newkirk with Peter, reminding us that it's easy to be kind, perhaps by not using glue traps.
Here's another oldie but goodie. I heard this song on the way in today too. I am gonna rock the house tonight with this song.
Now I'm not sure I heard this one. I don't know yet.
Oh my gosh! I heard the song. Was like, oh my gosh! I haven't heard that in so long. So I put it on my library, and I am going to absolutely freaking rock the house tonight when I get home. It's Thursday night, so.
It's your dancing night.
It's my dancing night. For years, it's been my dancing night, my mama's night. But everyone, welcome back to One Life Radio. And I have to tell you, Marie and Lexi were listening, and their hands grow.
Yeah.
From that segment with Dr. Green, Lexi said, holy cow, my hands grow. Or my hand grew. Her hand, the hand that she was focusing on.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's crazy, right?
When I was focused on it, when I just had to look there, like literally, you can feel it expanding. it definitely was expanding.
I was just thinking about something really funny. I should just share it. You know, there's going to be a lot of guys that want to concentrate on some things to make it grow bigger.
Focus all of your energy.
We're going to focus all of our energy on our brains growing, right? Our brains and our hearts.
Yeah. Oh, jeepers. Oh, I can't believe I said that, but what the heck, right? That's what One Life Radio is all about. Or at least we try to be somewhat, respectfully transparent.
Yes, most definitely.
Oh, my gosh. But it's so great to have Dewan Bennett in studio always. Dewan Bennett is a licensed professional counselor with over 11 years of counseling experience from Vallejo, California. Dewan has 2 master's degrees, one in counseling and another in psychology, and he is currently in the process of finishing up his PhD in clinical psychology. He is the owner of Healthy Life Interventions Counseling in Oklahoma City, as well as his private practice, D. Bennett Counseling, here in Dallas. And by the way, speaking of Oklahoma, we had a listener from Oklahoma, Robert, who won the book yesterday.
Oh, wow.
And thank you so much for listening all the way in Tulsa.
Good job, Robert.
Yeah. So I'm actually putting them in the mail today myself.
Okay.
But today with you, we're talking about power and control in relationships. This is a huge topic. It's really, really huge.
I've heard that.
It is. And I think it's a real struggle between men and women and parent and children, maybe boss and employee. There's always a power struggle, it seems. Why is there so much power struggle in our world, Dewan?
I think that we all kind of have an innate ability to kind of our instinct to want power in some form. I think that, when we're talking about power, people always think that it's the power over version, meaning like I want power over people. But there's also a version of power too, like power to make decisions in my life, power to be able to go and have fun, power to be free, those natures. But I think the desire for power is something that we want, and we want to feel that there are people in a way that will do the things that we want them to do, right? Because we want to feel like our influence matters.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it gets back to how important are we? Do we want to be seen, and how am I seen? And a lot of times people use power as a method to be seen.
Mm-hmm. I would agree. And but this desire, for power can control control. It ruins relationships. I can tell you it has ruined every relationship I've ever been in with a man. It always comes down to them wanting to control me. And it's a huge turnoff. And I don't think anybody wants to be controlled.
I think that it ruins relationship when your intentions are not, they're not good. They're not positive. I think if you have a positive regard for the welfare of the others, of the people that you're in control of in a certain way, then maybe in that situation, maybe I have power in my home, whereas the husband and the father, that I utilize that power to keep my family safe. But now if I'm utilizing that power as a way to control my wife and to control my son, not to do the things that are right for them, but to do the things that are right for me, then now that becomes unhealthy. It becomes a situation where I'm taking this sense of control that I have, and I'm trying to make the world around me come from a view of my eyes, operate from the view of my eyes, instead of understanding that everybody plays a part in the decision making that we have.
I know, Avi, you've been in relationships before that have turned out poorly because of control and power.
Yeah,
right? What do you want to say about this as a young woman?
I think it just always went back to his own insecurities and his own issues, maybe from childhood trauma that he wasn't able to resolve. So he took it out on me.
If you think about it, we all have different insecurities and we try to overcompensate in certain areas. If you think about sex, right? Some people utilize, their sex as a way to control someone, or religion, education, physical health, looks. We all have these certain areas in our life where we're insecure. So then we try to overcompensate in certain things. Now, again, as we talked about in the opening, power becomes a big issue. Power and control becomes a big issue because that is the premise in which domestic violence stems from.
Mm-hmm.
The ability or the need to want to control someone else. It starts little, right? I chip away at, hey, I don't like that dress. Won't you wear something else? Or, hey, I don't like that friend. Don't hang with that friend. Or, hey, I don't like that job. Won't you quit your job? I'm stripping away your independence bit by bit. There's a grooming process that's not always discussed. A lot of times people think, well, hey, the day that he hit you or the day that she did this, why you didn't leave?
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, hold on. You got to think, for a while, I've been conditioned to believe that my way of thinking is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And the only person I trust is the person that has that sense of control over me. So it's not as simple as me just walking away, because my identity has been stripped away from my favorite foods. I no longer like pizza. I like whatever it is that you like, because I only like what you like.
Yeah. this is powerful what you're talking about. It really is. It's I have a friend right now who actually is visiting Dallas and is in a domestic violence court case, you know, and all the things that you're saying sound so familiar, you know, to what I've heard this person say. And it does happen. And unfortunately, a lot of times children are caught in the mix. And, you know, it can be very, very destructive for the children, can it not?
I believe it can. The way that people experience power and control, particularly in domestic violence relationships, is it's not as obvious, right? It's not as obvious that a person is controlling you, because a lot of times if it doesn't involve physical abuse, you don't think that you're being abused. But unfortunately, what happens is the behaviors that we as parents display in front of our children, mm-hmm. they start to mimic those behaviors. Mm. They model those behaviors. Mm. So now we're aggressive in our home, and maybe not how I hit you or touch you, but maybe I'm the type of person I knock things over. Mm-hmm. So now my son knocks things over. Or maybe I yell a lot, so now my son yells a lot. Mm-hmm. Or maybe my son has to witness me shaming his mom, right? Mm-hmm. I'm always talking negative to her. I'm always putting her down. Now that affects him because he goes out in the world and he shames people. Mm-hmm. And so I think that a lot of times these situations become more traumatic for our children mm-hmm. than we think. A lot of parents think that their kids don't understand what's going on.
Oh, they
but
understand.
Kids are a lot smarter than we give them credit for.
Well, you know, one of my friends that I was speaking with that called me this morning, it was really heartbreaking because she was so lost, so distraught. And we're talking about children here.
Yes.
So, you know, case in point, her 9-year-old daughter had to be put on Prozac for anxiety. Okay. How damaging is that? A small little child. And she said, you know, that, you know, she, and this is just not a she thing. It goes both ways. I'm
yes.
not calling out men here because women can be just as controlling.
Agreed.
Very, very much so. So there's no bias here. But it was just heartbreaking, you know, to listen to her. And she said, you know, the kids are just being disrespectful to me now because they've watched and listened to him be disrespectful to me for so many years. And she's like, I just don't know what to do. She's so stripped down. She's so lost. What would you say to her, Dewan?
You know, I think that in those situations, one of the things that has to happen is she has to start to get to a point of sense of self, right? She has to get to a point where there's a wholeness and she starts to understand the power that she actually has. Because court or using your children in a court situation is a way in which somebody now, they try to take power over your life, even when they're not in your home.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
now
yeah.
they can control your vacations. Now they control what school your children go to, the meals, you know, doctor's appointments and all that. And so a lot of times I tell people, in those situations, you have to start to recognize the things in your life you do control.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes we get so bent on situations with our children and our exes that, hey, I don't have control of my life. I can't do this. I can't do that. Okay, well, why don't you tell me the things that you do have control of and start to empower them to start to focus on the positive before the negative? Because those situations involved in children are our hearts. And those situations can be very difficult because essentially when your heart is attacked, you're going to protect. You're going to protect, fight, flight, freeze. Those natural instincts and impulses mm-hmm. are going to come out.
Yeah. Wow. I love this topic. I do. There's so many families are hurting. This is something that really deserves a lot of attention. And so we're gonna be talking more about it when we come back from break. Everyone stay tuned. You're listening to Dewan Bennett and One Life Radio.
Did you know a mother rat will dip her paws into cool water and gently smooth the fur around her infants' faces? The babies put their arms around their mother's neck and pay attention while being bathed. Rats and mice fall in love, risk their lives to save their kids, and giggle when tickled. Evan Walker writes of a mouse who died of shock in a trap. His life was a life fully as real to him as ours is to us. This creature, for all the irritation it may have brought as it scampered through closed closets or up some crevice in a wall, was as precious as you or I. He was not a machine that breaks and fails. He felt. His was consciousness, full and real and fragile and precious. This is Ingrid Newkirk with Peter, reminding us that it's easy to be kind, perhaps by not using glue traps.
Little Ryan Berg. and the Velvet Rabbits or Velvet Ears.
The Velvet Ears.
The Velvet Ears. I always want to say the Velvet Rabbits. This guy's amazing. This band's amazing. And the drummer in this is Aviana's boyfriend, Luke.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, they actually played
Shout
at my house a couple of weeks ago. We had so much fun. We just randomly said, come on over, guys.
Yeah, I heard about the spontaneous pool
oh,
party.
Oh, you were going to go,
yeah,
weren't you?
Yeah.
I forgot you
I
were
missed
you were
it.
One of the.
We
yeah.
need to do it again.
Yeah, we're going to try and do it again. Yeah, so the kids will be in Europe for like 12 days, so I'm thinking about doing it then.
Your 12 days of freedom.
12 days. I don't know what it's like. I might even record it and see what kind of mental progress I go through. You know, they haven't gone out of the country in a while, and when they do, it's actually kind of fascinating. At first, I really, really miss them, uh-huh. and then a couple of days will go by, and I miss them a little less, and then, you know, then I start remembering what it was like to feel like Bernadette before children,
before
and then I'm
children.
Like, oh, man, I'm living large. You know?
Let's hope they don't know that.
But well, no. They're probably listening right now. But then I can't wait for them to come back too, because
right.
you know, you love your children more than anything on earth. At the end of the day, but it is good to have a nice little break.
That break is important. I think that people don't understand. It's not that I don't love my kids. It's not that I don't love my partner. Sometimes I just need me time.
Yeah.
Right. I was brought into this world by myself, unless I'm a twin. And so I've kind of learned to be able to have some me time.
Yeah. Well, me time is important, and we're going to be talking here in just a second about power and control in relationships, continuing on with Dewan Bennett. I want to let everyone know, though, first, that you can go to our website, oneliferadio.com, to download and listen to our podcast and subscribe to our newsletter. You can also go to iHeartMedia.com to listen live or download the free iHeartRadio app and listen to us from anywhere in the world. And a big shout out to our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior. You can get it at Vitamin Shop or put it in your smoothie at Smoothie King. And I got mine at Whole Foods the other night. I've been telling people that because sometimes I don't have time to order it on the computer and, you know, get on there. I know it's probably quicker, but for me, if I'm right there and it's right in front of me, I just picked up some. But you can get it at Whole Foods as well. But if you go to sunwarrior.com and use the code OLR, you get 20% off your order. And of course, great companies like Crazy Water, locally sourced right here in Texas, and Mineral Wells, which they're what do you call that when you take a? They're taking that old hotel, and I shouldn't have brought it up unless I have.
I think it's up already. The Crazy Water Hotel.
Well, no, it's an old hotel in Mineral Wells that is going to be restored. Yeah, and it's a beautiful old hotel because Mineral Wells used to be super famous. Like a lot of celebrities would go there and stay at that hotel and drink the crazy water.
Oh, the Baker.
There you go.
That's what.
Yeah,
I've
that's
heard.
It. But so it's going to be a little hub of activity, and they actually Crazy Water has a spa out there too as well. So check it out at crazywater.com. And of course, Honest Hemp, Happy, Healthy, Honest, and Paleo Magazine, great recipes, products, and articles on all around wellness, and the Well-Being Journal, which is always heralding the integration of medicine with physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual aspects of health. And Nature's Plate, plant-based meals to go. They go by the Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15, which is a standard by the Environmental Working Group to protect you from fruits and vegetables that have high levels of contaminants. And of course, Thorn Research, you can find our dispensary at oneliferadio.com/thorn for all of your supplemental needs. Shop our dispensary for 20% off and free shipping all the time. So check it out at oneliferadio.com/thorn. Okay, Dewan, let's get to this. The wheel of power and control in relationships. And there's many different types, isn't there?
Yes, there is.
Yeah.
So, you know, back in the 80s, there was a study by the International Organization Against Domestic Violence, and where they interviewed a bunch of women that were in domestic violence situations to get an idea of the different tactics that were used. Now, again, as we stated earlier, the methods in which the power and control are utilized are more so the problem, right? Because, again, if I control you, or if I feel like I can control you, then I feel like I can do anything to you. Mm. And I feel like I can do anything to you without punishment. So they looked at the different methods in which these women were involved in domestic violence. So one of the things were coercion, right? So using threats to harm yourself or to harm someone else. A lot of times people don't understand that, yes, maybe he doesn't threat to harm you, or maybe she doesn't threat, but she threats suicide. Hey, if you leave me, I'm going to harm myself. Mm-hmm. If you leave me, I'm going to call CPS. I'm going to say that you're abusing the children, or I'm going to say that you're doing illegal things, right? Then there's economic abuse, preventing someone from getting a job or keeping a job. I don't want you to work. I feel like I need you to stay home. I need you to take care of the kids. I need you to do those things. Again, I'm controlling your ability to make make money.
Mm-hmm. I've had that happen too.
Controlling the money, right?
Yep.
I'm giving you an allowance. Hey, you put your check into my account and I'm going to distribute or disperse a certain amount of money for you.
Yep.
Then you have using male privilege, right? Treating their partner like a servant or acting like they're the king of the castle. Mm-hmm. Now, what happens in that situation, you define roles. You're telling your partner, hey, these are the things that you're going to do. These are the things that I'm going to do. Those are things that, again, strip away from somebody's identity. What you're doing is it's a systematic approach of, you know, over time you're grooming them to behave and act in a certain way in which you control them. Now you know the triggers. Now you know the strings to pull, right? So then we talked earlier about using children. The one of the issues with the thing about using children, as we talked about, is our children are our heartbeats. And as a result, we want to do anything and everything to protect our children. So if you're in a domestic violence relationship and your partner is saying, hey, well, if you leave me, I'm going to take the children. A lot of times, even though you may understand that, hey, the courts are more likely to kind of do a 50-50 situation, you feel like, hey, the only way to protect my children if I stay in this home, because who knows what my partner's doing mm-hmm. when they're with the children. But you also see it on the reverse. You see it in situations where, hey, I'm going to keep the children away from you. I don't want you to have visitation with the children. Or anytime you're going to go out and do something fun, hey, this is the week you can see the children. You don't want to see your children this week. So it's used in various ways. And unfortunately, the children are the ones who are affected the most in those situations.
Yeah.
Minimizing, really denying, and blaming. How often are we in situations where, you know, somebody's abusing us and they're telling us, oh, that didn't hurt. Mm-hmm. Or why are you emotional?
Yeah.
Why are you crying? Mm-hmm. Right? Or it's your fault that our relationship is having problems. It's your fault that we're not doing this. You're the one who needs counseling. All those situations are someone who is trying to convince someone mm-hmm. to not trust themselves.
Yeah.
You trust me. You don't trust yourself
yeah.
because I'm telling you to do things that I'm not. Now, a lot of people may hear this, but hold on. That stuff happens in my relationship. This stuff happens. One of the biggest difference between recognizing that you're in an abusive relationship and not is not necessarily the fact that your partner may engage in some of these tactics, because I think a lot of times people aren't aware. It's more so when you're fearful to say something back because you fear mm-hmm. that your partner has hit you, right? So then we talked about using isolation. So controlling who, what, where your partner's going, who are they hanging out with? Hey, I don't like your friend, so I don't want you to hang with your friend. I don't like your sister. Your sister gets on my nerves. She's mean to me, so I don't want you to hang with your sister. A lot of times they're controlling and they're trying to isolate you from people that will give you a sense of courage. I don't want you to go to church. I don't like that pastor. Mm-hmm. So a lot of those methods are stripping away from your ability to go out and seek other resources. Now we're getting to emotional abuse. A lot of put downs, name calling, humiliating you in public in front of friends, always bad mouthing you, talking down others. Most people like to uplift their partners when they're around their friends. They don't even tell the bad things. They say, hey, yeah, my partner's excellent. They're great. But when you're constantly finding that your partner is putting you down, that's also an sign. And then intimidation, right? So making that person afraid by certain looks, by putting their hands on them, by destroying property, destroying things. All those things are signs of domestic violence. And again, it's not always a situation where it's one cluster. It could be that person hit you early in a relationship, and now the fear that they're going to hit you again is the thing that controlled you. Mm-hmm. They haven't done it, but when they knock down that furniture, you're afraid it's going to happen.
Yeah. Wow. Powerful stuff. Powerful stuff. I love listening to you, Dewan Bennett. For all of you out there listening, you can find Dewan at PrestonPlaceCounseling.com. That's PrestonPlaceCounseling.com, or his private practice, D. Bennett Counseling, here in Dallas, Texas, and in Oklahoma City. So great, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed the show. We always enjoy doing it because you get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there today and make the most of it.